राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो यू आर ऑल वेलकम एट श्री श्री राधा गोलोकानंद टेम्पल स्कॉन फिनिक्स फॉर संडेज लव एंड ट्रस्ट फीस्ट। टुडे इज एकादशी। We are observing Ekadashi, today's appearance day of Lord Vamandev. And also today's auspicious appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami Pad. And today also the devotees at Radha Golokanand Temple had a marathon of chanting holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. See, 100,000 names, so it's called 100,000 names, chanting of the 100,000 name which take almost 8 hours, so some fortunate soul since early morning started chanting. It appears like a marathon for us, but if we look at the counting beads, there are 16 on this side and 4 on other side. You all know this? Huh? Why these 4 are here? Why these 4 are on the other side? As soon as you finish 16, you move 1 down. So 4 times 16 you have to do the other side 4. So usually all the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they were doing 100,000 names daily. This was their daily, everyday. And Srila Prabhupada very particularly and punctually doing 64 japa every day without fail. Even when he was grasta doing his business and everything after he took initiation, very particularly he was chanting 100,000 holy name per day without fear. Getting up in the morning in front of the Rupa Goswami's samadhi, crying and chanting. It's not only chanting, chanting and tears were rolling down on the cheeks. Chanting means you are calling upon the holy name, you are calling Krishna. You are calling Radha Krishna, you are begging them to appear before you. Holy name, Prabhu, is a person. It has to be chanted with feeling. Feeling means we are calling a person, and that person is responding when our heart is purified. But how the heart is purified? Heart is purified by chanting. When we do chanting regularly, then heart is purified. When the heart is purified, then that person will appear within the heart. So chanting is most important, single principle for spiritual advancement in this age. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught to the Goswamis, Hariyar Nam, Hariyar Nam, Hariyar Nam, Eva Kevalam. Kalava Nas Deva Nas Deva Nas Deva Gatinatha. In the age of Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way except chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name. So this chanting of Hare Krishna, we have, and Srila Prabhupada said minimum 16 rounds. It means we have always to have goal more than 16 rounds. It means 25,000. 25,000 name everybody is chanting who is affiliated with ISKCON as a sincere devotee. So Prabhupada did this a special concession. But actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami wanted everybody to chant this. And then, there may be many advantages of this. One advantage which is very material is that when you chant that much, you have no time to fight with anybody else. Already you are exhausted with all your words which you are supposed to talk in one day. It's a very simple thing. Then you will be really saintly person automatically. You have not to do anything else. Because you have no energy more to fight anything. And so you will be very simple and saintly person automatically if 8 hours you chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then you are peaceful after that. Whatever little you get, then you just relax, that's it. No fighting, you will automatically become saintly person. So this is actually to make a saintly person. So those really who are most fortunate should practice at least on Ekadashi day, this woe of chanting at least. 4 times the number they are chanting every day. Ekadashi is a day where you have not to really cook, you have not to be worried about anything simply. It's called upvas. Up means near, vas means sit. Sit near to the Lord and simply glorify Him. That's called upvas. Sit near to the Lord. Up means near and vas means sitting. So Ekadashi is a day we should increase our hearing and chanting. So this whole week is a, more than week, is a holy name day, World Holy Name Day, and we have many programs. You can get the information. But today we will talk about Vamandev, his appearance, because today is Vaman Dwadashi, as well as we'll briefly describe the glories of Jiva Goswami Pad. So Srimad Bhagavat has 12 cantos. You know 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavat? 12 iskand hai Bhagavat mein, you know this. 8th iskand, 8th canto. 8th canto has 3 major subject matters. You can say 3 divisions of 8th canto. And 3 principles. First principle is, when you are in trouble, you always pray to the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. Whenever you have any trouble, any anxiety, any difficulty, anything which you are really helpless, then you pray. First principle. Second principle, when you have everything in abundance, then give in charity, distribute. And third principle is, if you have given words to somebody, keep it, even if you have to suffer, even if your superiors say don't do, but still you have to keep your words. So once you say something, you abide by that, even in all odds and events and difficulties. So these 3 principles are called sadharma, sadharma palan, highest principle of religiosity. So in 8th canto, 4 chapters describe in difficulty call upon holy name. And this 4th chapter is called Gajendra Moksha Stuti. Gajendra Moksha. Gajendra, who was Gajendra? Gajendra, Gaj means elephant. And Indra means the king of elephant. He was actually king, Indradyumna. He was a king of Pandya Desh. And he left the kingdom. He was doing his sadhana, but he offended one rishi called August Rishi. And because of that, he did not get up when rishi came. So he said, oh, you are like elephant, become elephant. So he become Gajendra next life. And he has, instead of getting the highest result of the bhajan, highest result of the holy name, if there is any obstacle, then you will get 2 things. Kaam and bhog. It is kaam and earth. You have more wealth and you have more enjoyment. So this elephant became king. He has many things to enjoy. And he was in Trikut. And then he went in a beautiful lake with the many she elephants and playing there, and his leg was cut by a crocodile. And then in that distressful condition, nobody helped him, and he remembered his prayers which he was doing when he was doing his sadhana. And in this difficulty, when he said Govinda, Go, when he say go, Lord was in his own abode. By the time he uttered Vinda, Vishnu came on the Garuda, and immediately he cut the throat of crocodile, and the elephant was relieved immediately. So only not elephant was, so this is not a allegory elephant, this is not some story, this is, we have to realize that in this world, elephant was living on the earth, and the crocodile is living in the water. So for crocodile, it is easy to fight in the water, and it was difficult for the elephant to be out of his main land. And therefore, crocodile was becoming more powerful, and elephant was getting weak and weak day by day. This is what we are here. We are here in a wrong place. And the crocodile in the form of time has caught our leg. And every day, our energy is going to be exhausted. Our power is decreasing. And the time's power is increasing. And we are getting more and more into the open jaw of death. So only the thing for us, we have to learn from this Gajendra Moksha, is we should pray and pray. Chant holy name, chant holy name, chant holy name. Then only we have any relief. Otherwise, we are like that elephant in a odd situation. We are not in our proper position. This is not place for us to be. But we are here like elephant in a water. So next 10 chapter describe churning of the milk ocean. And churning of the milk ocean, all, everything was actually, the whole story goes like, Indra was on his elephant with many followers going, proud and pomp, and Durvasa Muni offered him garland. And Indra took his garland and put on the elephant. And elephant just threw it down and crushed it with the foot. Durvasa Rishi said, this is a dishonor of the garland of a saintly person. He cursed that you become pauper. You should lose all your opulence. And Indra become very weak, no opulence. What we have to learn from this, many times I have seen, at least not devotee, but the political people, you go and buy a garland worth of 200, 500 rupees, put on their neck, and they just take it down and put it on the floor. It's a big offense. Garland of the deities or saintly person should be given a highest respect. Dishonor of the garland of saintly person resulted into the Indra means king of the heavens, his degradation from his power. And then what he has to do, he went to Brahma. And Brahma took him to Vishnu. And Vishnu advised him, now you should have truce with the demons, daityas, and you both churn the milk ocean and nectar will come, and then you will drink the nectar, then you will be powerful. So now this churning of the milk ocean took place, and first thing came out was poison. And this poison was to devastate all three worlds. All three worlds were supposed to be devastated by this poison. And then Lord Vishnu immediately requested everybody, please go to Lord Shiva. Or Shankar, call upon Shankar. And Lord Shankar, with the permission and glorification of Parvati, came there and he drank all the poison. And the three major special things, total 14, but out of those, three are most important, they come out of the milk ocean. First was Kamadhinu, the cow which can give everything, whatever you desire. It was given to saintly persons to follow the principle of Dharma. So first thing came was for propagation of Dharma. Second thing came was Rama, Lakshmi Devi. And this Lakshmi Devi then garlanded Vishnu. And this Lakshmi Devi is fulfilling everybody's desire to provide all what they need. And third thing came was nectar. And this was brought by Dhanvantri himself. And then there was fight between the demons and demigods. And then again Lord has to appear a first time as a Mohini Murti. Mohini means enchanting. It was enchanting form, a female form of the Supreme Lord appeared. And he deceived the demons and he gave the nectar to all the demigods. So this is, everything was distributed. Everything, whatever came, it was distributed. So this is a distribution when you have enough, and this is all can be by the mercy of Supreme Lord. And then the last 9 chapter, and there is one more chapter, 24 total chapter and 8th canto. 9 chapter, the principle is, if you have given word to somebody, keep that word whatever happens. So in that case, this is story of the appearance of Vaman Dev comes. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vishaya Gauravani Prasad. What happened after demigods, they got the nectar, they become powerful. Now they were killing demons like left and right. And Bali Maharaj was head of the demons and he was almost killed. But his followers took him to the Bhrguvanshi Brahmans and they were knowing these special signs of reviving the dead body. And they revived Bali Maharaj back to life. And because he was revived back to life by Bhrgumuni Rishi, Brahmans, he was completely sold to those Brahmans. He said, you have given me life, I am for you. And now this Brahman becomes so happy. He said, now we are going to do a big sacrifice, Vishwajit Yajna. You will conquer the whole world. And they did Vishwajit Yajna. And from the Yajna came a chariot, a golden chariot, a bow, two container of the arrows which never exhaust, and then a kavach. At that time, Prahlad Maharaj, the grandfather of Bali Maharaj, appeared there. He gave him lotus garland which never withers. And then Guru Shukracharya gave conch shell. And then Bali Maharaj with all the demons, he started towards Indrapuri to have Akraman, to have the attack on the heavenly planet. There's a beautiful description of heavenly planet when he was going, and when he blew his conch shell, Indra looked outside. He said, oh, here there is an ocean of the whole army coming of the demons. What to do? He went to his own spiritual master, Brahaspati. What to do, my dear Gurudev? And Gurudev said, now at this time, Bali Maharaj is protected by Brahmans and he has pleased the Brahmans. He is more powerful. Please, you disappear from here incognito. Nobody should see you. So Indra left from there and Bali Maharaj, he becomes the king of heavenly planet. Now, these Bhrguvanshi Brahmans, they said, now Indra, now Bali Maharaj, you are sitting on the seat of Indra. But this is illegal. We will make you legal, Indra. How? We will perform 100 Ashwamedh Yajna at the bank of Narmada River, at the place called Bhrigu Kachh, which now in the India is called Bharuch, which is between the Surat and Baroda. There is called place Bharuch, still you can go and see that place is there, Bharuch. So there they started performing 100 Yajna. So 99 Yajna were almost complete. And the last Yajna was in process. On the other side, the story goes, the mother of the Indra and other Adityas, 12 Aditya, the mother, Aditi, was worried. Kashyap, her husband, was out for preaching and he came back. He saw mother in distress. His wife, mother of the Indra in distress, says, why you are so much in anxiety? He asked so many questions. Ultimately, the answer given was, I have not seen my children for a long time. Kashyap understood, it means, say, Bali Maharaj is ruling now heavenly planet. Indra and all my other sons are somewhere hiding. I can't see them. And then Kashyap said, when my grandfather Brahma, he told me the mantra called Payovirtha. Payovirtha means milk. Only drink milk for 13 days. And you follow and worship every day Lord Vishnu, your desire will be fulfilled. So she observed this payavrat for 13 days. On the 12th day, Lord Vishnu appeared before Mother Aditi. And Mother Aditi could not speak anything to see Vishnu. She said, I am sorry. Now I have to ask you something little of this material world to protect my son. I should not ask this. When you appeared, means it means my desires are fulfilled. But Supreme Lord said, no, Mother, I know what is your problem. But at this time, Bali is on the path of Dharma. I cannot really say anything to Bali as such. But since I am very much pleased by your austerities, therefore only the way I can help your children, your sons, that I should become your son too. Then I can help my brothers, nobody can object. So then, Lord Vishnu said, this you keep in confidence. Don't tell anybody. From today, you look at your husband Kashyap. Inside Kashyap, you look me. And soon you will get me as your son. And then what happened? At one time, Kashyap immediately realized that some Supreme Lord has entered within his heart. He and Kashyap immediately transferred that Supreme Lord into the heart of Mother Aditi, and then Brahma appeared there. And Brahma said, Kashyap and Aditi, Supreme Lord has entered into your heart and he is going to appear very soon. You both are blessed, so be ready to receive him. Now on this day, today is a Dwadashi day of this month, which is now going on September, October. September, October, generally this month, on Dwadashi day, Lord appeared in four-armed Vishnu Roop with the crown and the earrings and Vajanti Mala and everything. And Kashyap and Aditi was looking at him and at the Lord, and immediately Lord transformed himself into a small Brahman boy. Like any actor can change his dress immediately, one actor has changed his dress, so he immediately become a dwarf Brahman. Why he become dwarf? Why he did not become tall? What he has to do now, he has to go to ask for charity, means you have to go and beg from somebody. Beggar cannot be tall, they have to be small. Beggar cannot be taller, he has to be small. Now he is going for this. Now, at this time, immediately, when he becomes small boy, Surya Dev came there, he gave Gayatri Mantra himself to this Vaman Dev. Vaman is called Vaman because he is small in size. He is short, his stature is Vaman. Vaman means short. And then Surya Dev gave Gayatri to Vaman Dev. And Mother Parvati first Bhiksha, the begging bowl was given by Kuber. And the first Bhiksha was given by Mother Parvati. So Mother Earth gave the Mrigshala, the deer skin. And the umbrella came from the celestial planet for Vaman Dev. So Vaman Dev got all the blessings and articles from different demigods, and then he started towards Bhrigu Kach, where the yajna of Bali Maharaj was taking place. As soon as he reached in that arena, the Brahman saw, well, this morning sun already arises, from where the next sun is coming. He was surprised, this day, brilliant effulgence is coming from somewhere. They looked and they saw beautiful Brahman boy with an umbrella in the hand, and he's coming, all got up, and they all received him. And Bali Maharaj was so happy to receive this Brahman, young Brahman boy. And Bali Maharaj said, I am very fortunate that when my yajna is about to complete, you have appeared here. This is my fortunate. This is my great fortune. Now you ask anything you want from me. You need land, you want to marry, I can arrange some Brahman girl. If you need anything, I am ready to give. And my name is Bali, and people know nobody has ever gone empty-handed from my doors. And then Bali Maharaj got Vamandev to sit on an asana, then he washed his lotus feet. Now this is very interesting. This is same Vaman Maharaj. This is same Vamandev, whose lotus feet, when piercing the boundary of the material world and the spiritual world, the water from the Kegel Ocean washed is only the big toe, and that came down into the karmandal of Brahman, into the part of Brahman, Brahmadi, and from there it went to say heavenly planet, and from where it came to the head of Lord Shiva, and then it became Ganga, and everybody is getting purified by that Ganga, which is coming from Brahma, demigod, Lord Shiva, then it comes to people. But here, most fortunate is Bali, he is getting the same water from the same lotus feet of Vamandev right in front of him and is sprinkling on his head. See the fortune of Bali Maharaj. How much fortunate is Bali Maharaj. That Ganga, which was glorified, is coming from many sources, but here, same lotus feet he is washing of that same Vamandev, which is the source of Ganga. Now, Vamandev, when he has to ask something for charity, then he has to glorify Bali Maharaj. This is the spiritual technique. If you have to go to somebody to get somebody from somebody, you have to glorify him. He said, Bali Maharaj, your grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, for him, Supreme Lord appeared, Narsingadev. And what to speak of your great grandfather Hiranyakashipu, they were so powerful. Still, Lord Varahadev is thinking, how I actually conquered that Hiranyakashipu. And when Hiranyakashipu, your grandfather, he heard that Vishnu has killed his brother, he went to the Vaikunth to chase Vishnu. And Vishnu, when saw Hiranyakashipu coming, he wanted to hide himself, he did not find any place. So he entered through the breath within to the heart of Hiranyakashipu. So he could not really find him. And then what to speak of your father Virochan, who has given his very life, year of his life, in charity to the Brahmins. So I know you are charitable. Now Bali Maharaj said, yes, you ask whatever you want from me. And then Vamandev is saying, now first you have to do sankalp. Sankalp means you take a vow that you are giving. Because usually you may think that I will give this, but if without sankalp you may change your mind. Once you do sankalp, you cannot change your mind. This is very, very important. To get a sankalp is most important. I'm just remembering one story. There was one person who was traveling in an aeroplane, and he somehow got fish to eat, and the thorn of the fish was stuck in the throat. Now he was in terrible trouble, and he said, announcement was made in the plane if there's any doctor, and fortunately there was a doctor in the plane. He just pulled out that thorn out, and then he said, so doctor, what should I give you? The doctor said, when you have this thorn stuck in your throat, whatever you decided, give half of that to me. He said, then really I will be bankrupt. Because at that time I said, whatever I have, but somebody should take and relieve me from this trouble. So how can I give half of that? Yeah? I can give you 500 rupees, that's all your fees. That's what is, when we think, sometimes we think that, oh, beautiful duck, deity is, I think next time we should have the dress for the deities and everything. So this thing come in our mind, but as soon as we go out, I should have one dress good for me. What the Lord will do with that? We change our mind very quickly. You know? So Bali Maharaj, so Vamandev is teaching that if you really you have to get donation from somebody, really get something sankalp done. Because then gentlemen will never say no. So, when Bali Maharaj was about to do sankalp, at that time his Guru Maharaj got up. Shukaracharya. He said, this is Vishnu. This is not Brahman. He's going to cheat you. You don't recognize him. You have not yet uttered the word Om. You can really change your mind. Don't give him anything. And then Shukarniti, he said, wealth has to be divided in 5 parts. One for personal use, one for publicity, one for investment to increase the wealth, one for relatives. And in this way, this is Shukarniti. But Vamandev, he just thought for a while and he said, wait a minute, I have given a word, so I will not really change my mind. Whatever happens, the earth will not take the burden of a liar one who changes his word is a burden on the earth. Whatever happens, I may go to hell. Somebody may bind me with the snake ropes, or I may lose everything, but I will not change my mind. I will keep my words. And then, Bali Maharaj says, so what do you want? He said, first do sankalp, then I will ask. So he got a water in a special pot, which is a little tube outside to water is coming down. So water was not coming. Huh? What happened? Water is not coming. So Vamandev, the Supreme Lord, he understood what happened. So he took some pointed object and he pushed into that small tube. And somehow the Shukracharya came out with one eye completely ruptured and blood coming oozing out of that eye. So Shukracharya became a small insect and he obstructed the flow of the water. So Shukracharya has now only one eye. His one eye was completely destroyed in that. Because this is type of the Brahmins. What they will do, they want their yajman, it means their followers should always be rich, they will get donation. If this Bali Maharaj become, he will be bereft of everything, then how can we will sustain our life? So these Brahmins think like this, Karam Kandi. Now when Sankalp was done, then Vamandev say, I need 3 steps of land only. Oh, Bali Maharaj said, you appears to be a scholar when you are speaking, when we are asking, you are like a child. 3 steps, you are what you will get. Then Vamandev gave a good lecture that Brahman should not ask more than he needs. Otherwise, nobody will be satisfied in this world, even he get the whole world. Gaya Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, they were the great rulers, but nothing, they were never satisfied in this world. So what to speak of ordinary human being? Whatever you get, you will never be satisfied. So Brahman must be satisfied by minimum possible he gets, no need. So I need only 3 steps, but no more than that. Okay, go ahead. And now this small Brahman immediately become Trivarakarma. So 3 names for Vamandev. He's called Vamandev because he is small. Then he's called Trivarakarma because he become immediately in 3 step, in 2 step in 2 step whole earth and all the planet up to Satya Lok, up to Brahma's Lok, they were measured by his 2 steps. So Trivarakarma. So he become immediately in a Virat Roop. So third name for Vamandev is Upendra. Upendra is a younger brother of Indra, and he always is in front of the Indra, like Upananda and Nanda and Upananda. So Upendra. So now he measured the whole earthly planet and heavenly planet in 2 steps, and then he looked at Bali Maharaj. He said, so you said you are most charitable. Where should I put my 3rd layer? There's no place left. Bali Maharaj said, Maharaj, this earth I have conquered with my power. With my yajna I have conquered heavenly planet. So my this lok and parlok, this lok by my strength and parlok, heavenly planet, my charity, my yajna I got. But you have taken these 2. But I have done all these 2. I am still there. And it is all I done with my this head. So this my head, I am offering you to put your 3rd foot on. So this is the greatness of Bali Maharaj, that he has offered the ego of giver. If a person may give charity, millions of dollars, he can give a charity. But he will say, I have given charity. So this I will remain behind. But Bali Maharaj has given I himself. Now you put your last foot on my head. That is called Atma Nivedan. Offering everything in charity. Therefore there is one word called Balidan. You use this word Balidan in Mauritius? Balidan. This Balidan word came from Bali Maharaj. Bali has given everything. So Balidan means give everything. Don't keep anything behind. That's called Balidan. Balidan means sacrificing oneself. So Balidan word came from Bali Maharaj. At that time Garuda, in the form of, Garuda is a Veda.
He bound the Bali Maharaj with the snake rope. Now Bali Maharaj is bound. Prahlad appeared. And he told Vaman Dev, actually everything belongs to you, Supreme Lord. We Daitya, we demonic people, we claim that it is ours. You have taken your thing, so what is the problem? So he actually glorified Bali Maharaj for giving everything. Bali Maharaj's wife, Vindhyavali, also glorified Bali Maharaj for doing this. And then Brahma appeared. And Brahmaji said, so, Bali has offered everything to you. Now please release him from the snake rope. And then Vaman Dev spoke. He said, Bali Maharaj, I was simply testing. I am satisfied by his offering. Now, Bali Maharaj, for you, I have a special planet called Sutal Lob, and I have specially made this for you by the great architect. What is the name of great architect? Sukracharya, his name is also? Vishwakarma. I asked Vishwakarma to make for you Sutal Lob, which is more great opulent than Indra Lok. And then I will be standing in front of your door as God. You just have my darshan and be peaceful there. And then Lord Vaman Dev asked Prahlad Maharaj, you accompany Bali Maharaj to give satsang in Sutal Lok. And then he said, Bali, next Manvantar, when the next Manu comes, this is seventh Manu going on. And Bali Maharaj, Vaman Dev appeared in the seventh Manvantar, Vivaswant Manvantar. Now the Manu who is ruling today is Vivaswat Manu. His name is Vivaswat or Sardwan Manu. He is a seventh Manu, son of Surya Dev. The next Manu, after this will come, is Bali Maharaj is going to be Indra next time. Next Manvantar, Indra will be Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj was glorified by Supreme Lord Vaman Dev. And Vaman Dev is still 6 months, he stays there and guard the Bali Maharaj Sutal Lok, and Lakshmi become worried, where is my husband gone? She went there as a Brahmani and asked Bali Maharaj, some charity I want. And Bali Maharaj said, well, what do you want? He said, first have a sankalp. He said, I already did sankalp. What do you want, I will give you. He said, this is my husband, give me back. Which is your God is not a God, is a Lord Vishnu. And then she got Lord Vishnu back. So this is the glory of Vaman Dev, Jiva Goswami Pad. Time, well, still there are 10 minutes. Okay, still we have some time. Something, so anybody has any question about Vaman Dev? So in this Manvantar, so the churning of the milk ocean was in sixth Manvantar before this. Each Manvantar means one Manu comes. In Brahma's one day, 14 Manu comes. In Brahma's one day, 14 times government changes. Here 5 years government changes, no? In Mauritius. In Brahma's one day, 14 times government changes. Each time one Manu comes. When one Manu comes, one incarnation of Supreme Lord comes. When somebody becomes Indra, and 7 Rishis are there. Every time they are selected. They are selected, they are not elected. They are selected by Supreme Lord. Elected means nonsense. Democracy means demon's curse. Prabhupada says the demon's curse. They are selected by Supreme Lord. So, this Manvantar, the Manu is, as we know, the Manu who received the Bhagavad Gita from Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Prokvan Aham. This is Vivaswan Manu, seventh Manu. This is Vivaswat Manu. Seventh Manu. And this incarnation in this Manu is Vaman Dev. In this reign, Vaman Dev appeared. And the Indra is, Purandar is Indra. It means Indra is the name of the post, not person. Anybody who did 100 yajna can become an Indra. So Indra is the name of the post. Manu is the name of the post. The person changes there. So this is the Vaman Dev's appearance today. But we have to learn from this some principle. Brahman should be satisfied with whatever he needs. More than that, he never asks for. But when he goes to somebody, he must glorify that person. And from Bali Maharaj, we learn if we give words, we should keep that word. It's not that we change our word every second minute. There was one businessman, what he used to do, he learned that I have to keep my word. So in the evening when he was coming from business, he was asking his wife, so I have just purchased something, say 10 rupees per kilo. I am selling to you. Will you buy? He said, what you will charge? Say 11 rupees, and it's too costly. So 10 and a half, okay. Next morning when they wake up, wife will say, so last night I purchased something in 10 and a half rupees. Will you like to buy this? So what is your rate? 11 and a half. No, it's too much. So is 11 okay? All right, 11. Then he goes to market. He says, just I have purchased the thing in 11 rupees. I want to sell you in 11 and a half. What is this business? And my wife and husband in the night just change the rate. And next day he keep his words that I am telling everything truth. There's nothing change in this. I just purchased this thing. So people are not keeping their words anymore. This is we have to learn from Bali Maharaj, that only 2 persons are known charitable, Bali Maharaj and Karan. They both were glorified by Supreme Lord himself. Bali Maharaj was glorified by Vamandev, and Karan was glorified by Lord Krishna himself. He showed Pandavas that how charitable is Karan. So these were the 2 charitable persons known on this planet, Bali Maharaj. And for this Bali Maharaj, Lord Vamandev appeared. This is one of the Aditya, son of Aditya and Kashyap. Now, we are coming to, whatever we are sitting here in a Mauritius beautiful Krishna conscious temple, Radha Golokananda, established by the ISKCON founder Acharya's Divine Grace of Acharya and Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. All this has come from actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna joined together. Radha Krishna Yugal Roop. He appeared there in the Radha mood, but he did not write much. So he entrusted all the literary work to his disciples. And of the disciples who were the direct disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the 2 great Goswamis of Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, they were literary people in Vrindavan. They were actually 3 brothers, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and Anupam. This Anupam has 1 son, and his name is Jiva Goswami, Jiva. This Jiva, he was a very little boy when Mahaprabhu visited Ram Keli. And Rupa and Sanatan Goswami met Mahaprabhu in Ram Keli. Jiva Goswami was a small, simple child. He simply had a darshan of Mahaprabhu at that time. Then after that, Rupa and Sanatan both left Ram Keli. They left the minister's job as a minister of the Nawab Hussain Shah of Bengal. They came and lived in Vrindavan. Jiva Goswami lived 85 years on this planet. Of the 85 years, first 20 years, he lived in Bengal, where his parental house was. Now, Anupam, the father of Jiva Goswami, he also went with Rupa Goswami to Vrindavan. Then they were going from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri. And from there, on the way, at the bank of Ganges, Anupam lost his body. He departed from this planet. When Jiva heard this, my father has departed and my 2 uncles are already in Vrindavan. So he was completely become renunciate. He was not having any interest in family. So his mother, when his mother departed, then he left his parental house and he came to Navadvip. In Navadvip, he met Nityananda Prabhu personally. And Nityananda Prabhu put his lotus feet on the head of young Jiva Goswami. And Jiva Goswami said, I know Nityananda, you are Balaram. And Jiva Goswami was worshipping Krishna Balaram deity. And then they said, without your mercy, I can never reach to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and get his mercy. And Nityananda Prabhu took him by hand. And he took him to Gaur Mandal Parikarma, or Mayapur Parikarma. They went first to the Srivas Angan, where Mahaprabhu has nocturnal kirtans, where Srinivas was even present. Srivas Pandita received this young Jiva Goswami. Then they took them to Mahaprabhu's birthplace, where Mata, Sachi Mata, the mother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu's wife Vishnu Priya, they cooked for Jiva Goswami and Nityananda Prabhu and Srivas Pandit. And from there, Jiva Goswami was personally took by Nityananda for whole Gormandal Parikrama. Then Jiva Goswami said, "So Nityananda, either you keep me as your eternal associate, or you give me permission, I should go to Jagannath Puri and stay there." Nityananda said, "No. Mahaprabhu has already given Vrindavan to your family. Your two uncles are in Vrindavan. So I request you, order you, go first to Varanasi. Learn Bhagavat and Vedanta from Vachaspati, Madhusudan Vachaspati, disciple of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And then you go to Vrindavan." Jiva Goswami, on the instruction and inspiration of Nityananda Prabhu, he came to Varanasi at Chandrasekhar's house, and then he learned Vedanta at Madhusudan Vachaspati and became very learned in whole philosophy, and then he came to Vrindavan. When he reached Vrindavan, it describes Sanatana Rupa Goswami become happy. Kaviraj, Krishnadas Kaviraj was there, and Loknath Goswami was there, and all these were very happy to receive Jiva Goswami there, and particularly Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they saw their nephew and they were become happy. Jiva Goswami approached Sanatana Goswami for initiation. Sanatana Goswami humbly said, "All right, you go to Rupa Goswami and take initiation from Rupa Goswami." So this is a very interesting phenomena from our parampara to learn. That Sanatana Goswami was approached for initiation, but he said, "Jiva, you go and learn under Rupa Goswami. Let you take initiation from Rupa Goswami." And Rupa Goswami accepted Jiva Goswami, but he did not give initiation. He only engaged him in manual service. Wash the pot, make the paper ready for writing, do the research in the scripture, go and fetch water from Yamuna. When he was satisfied, then he initiated Jiva Goswami. Now, the scholars say, the writers say, most systematic preacher of Chaitanya Vaishnavism was Jiva Goswami. And the most exalted scholar known in the Indian history is Jiva Goswami. Still, the Banaras University keeps a full department to study Jiva Goswami's books. Still today, Banaras University keeps one full department for Jiva Goswami's literature. He has 500,000 Sanskrit verses composed. 25 books he composed. So now there is one pastime of Jiva Goswami when he was living with Rupa Goswami. There was one Digvijayi Pandit. Digvijayi Pandit means a Pandit who conquered all the direction. He was a great Pandit in India. His name was Rupa Narayan. So he learned that Rupa and Sanatana Goswami are two greatest scholars in North India. So he came to Vrindavan. He asked, "So I want to debate with you. People say you are greatest scholar." These both say, "We don't have a time. We have to chant holy name. So you are greatest scholar. We are sorry." He said, then you have to give me in writing certificate that we are defeated by Rupa Narayan. Rupa and Goswami and Sanatana Goswami wrote the certificate. "Take it. We are defeated." And then he heard that his young nephew of them, Jiva, is also a great scholar. "Okay, let me go to Jiva." He said, "Jiva Goswami, your two uncle have given me certificate. They are already defeated. So you give me certificate." He said, "What are you saying? Rupa and Sanatana are defeated by you. They are direct disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You are worldly scholar. What are you speaking? Come on. Let us have a debate." And at the bank of Jamuna, they have a debate for 7 days. And this Rupa Narayan was defeated, and with his shame, he left Vrindavan never to come back. And when Jiva Goswami went back and he told this story to Rupa Goswami, his spiritual master, Rupa said, "You are not fit to be renunciant and to live in Vrindavan. You are arrogant. Still you have not conquered your anger and pride. You are not fit to be in Vrindavan." There's another story here. One very great scholar called Vallabh Bhatt, who started Vallabh Sampradaya Vaishnava, he came to Vrindavan, and Rupa Goswami was writing his Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, and he took one verse. He said, "There's some mistake in this verse." Jiva was hearing this, but Jiva could not say here anything. He said, "I'm going to fetch water from Jamuna." And when Vallabh Bhatt came outside, he said, "How you say there's a wrong in this? Let us discuss this." And this they discussed for hours. And then Vallabha said, you are right. And then Vallabha came next day and he told to the Rupa Goswami, your nephew is a scholar. He has really convinced me and what you have written is right. But again, Rupa Goswami said, Jiva, we give honor to those who are elder to us. You are defeating them. You should not live here. So Jiva Goswami left Vrindavan. He went at the border of Mathura and he was doing austerity for 1 year, living in a crocodile hole at the bank of Yamuna. Sanatana Goswami was walking in the village and he was only begging some madhugri. Some sadhu said, or some local people said, you are sadhu, we know, but there is one sadhu we know who is living in crocodile cave. He is not eating anything. He is just getting some flour and putting Yamuna water and drinking. And Sanatana Goswami went, he saw Jiva there. And he was moved, he came back to Rupa Goswami. He said, Rupa, you have forgotten the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He said, no, why? Which teaching I have forgotten? He said, you enumerate the teaching of Rupa Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when he said, Jiva Daya. So he said, so there is no Daya for Jiva? No mercy for Jiva? And then Rupa Goswami laughed, oh, you are saying about Jiva. And then they brought Jiva Goswami back from that place. So Jiva Goswami then was living there. He is Vilas Manjari in Krishna Leela. So Jiva Goswami, then one day after the two Goswamis departed from this planet, Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, then Jiva Goswami became the leader of the Vaishnavas. He was the Acharya of the time there. And systematically he trained three learned persons as the second generation, and they are Srinivas Acharya, Shyamanand Pandit, and Narottam Das Thakur. And with these three, all the literature of the Goswamis he sent to the Bengal. So Bengal and Orissa and all these places he systematically started preaching, and book distribution started. Jiva Goswami started book distribution. First book distribution started by Jiva Goswami. First, Akbar visited once to the Vrindavan and he was moved by Jiva Goswami's scholarship, and then he gave a full support, and then the beautiful Vrindavan, all these beautiful temples were built with the permission of Akbar at that time. So all this red stone which is used by all these temples, it is with the sanction of Akbar, because he was very much satisfied and very much moved by the devotion and scholarship of Jiva Goswami. So these three great scholars of Jiva Goswami, then they took the all literature on the bullock cart from Vrindavan to back to the Bengal, and then they distributed to that eastern side of the India. So Jiva Goswami then lived all the time, and he has his temple called Radha Damodar Temple, which he built with himself, and the deities given to him by Rupa Goswami, which was carved by Rupa Goswami himself for his disciple Jiva Goswami, Radha Damodar. And all the Goswami used to meet there at Radha Damodar courtyard, and they used to discuss all the Shastra there. And our Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace, he lived in the same Radha Damodar temple, and every day there is a samadhi of Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami in that courtyard. He was praying and praying, praying and praying to these Goswamis. And one day, in Prabhupada's some memories, somebody has said, Prabhupada saw the two brilliant, effulgent person with his third young, effulgent person there, and they blessed Prabhupada to start writing and preaching for the worldwide movement. They were Srupa and Sanatana Goswami with Jiva Goswami. They blessed Srila Prabhupada to write, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj empowered him to spread all over the world this Krishna conscious movement. So these are the founders of actually Krishna conscious movement with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have written all the literature which is actually Prabhupada has translated, and Prabhupada has digested that art and put it in ordinary simple English language for the whole world to know. Today is the appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami Pad, a highly learned scholar of his known in his own time. Jiva Goswami Pad ki, Vamandeva Bhagavan ki, एकादशी हरिवास्य महावर्तकी गौर प्रेमानंदे हरे कृष्ण. एनीबडी हैज एनी क्वेश्चन और कमेंट? एनी क्वेश्चन और कमेंट और क्लियरिफिकेशन? श्री प्रभुपाद की. हरे कृष्ण. थैंक यू वेरी मच.
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे.